How many of you remember the show, just right off the top here, how many of you know the show Mythbusters? Anybody? A quick show of hands. Okay. I actually didn't watch the show Mythbusters a ton every now and again, but really, when I think about it, what a genius show. What a creative idea for a show, this Mythbusters show. They're testing the science, testing the validity, testing the reality, actually, of all the things that over time, right, looking at so many things that over time we just assume to be true. Myths, you know, old wives' tales, sayings, whatever. They're testing the reality of all these things. We don't really know for sure, but you know, we keep hearing that X or Y is true, and so after a while, we just assume it's true. This is how things work so much, so many times with us, right? That you hear something enough times, in enough places, from enough people, and eventually, you just accept that this is true, right? It must be kind of cold, hard facts. This is how this deal works. I looked up a few of these just for fun as we get rolling here. Looked up a few of the biggest myths that they busted on the show, that at least they claimed to have busted on the show. Here's a couple that I found interesting, caught my attention. Myths that they determined to not be true, despite what everybody thinks. Here's the first one, that the color red causes a bull to charge. Okay, that's just like common knowledge. Everybody knows that. You've heard that, right? You see it on shows. You see it in cartoons. Maybe you've even seen it live in person, you know, the matador with the red cape. The more you see it, the more you hear it, the more you just believe that this is true, right? We just know it's a universal fact, right, that there's something in a bull's eyes or there's something in a bull's brain that is he's angered, he's agitated at the color red. Not so. Okay, here's another one, right? The cell phone use at the gas pump can cause an explosion, right? Ever since cell phones came onto the scene, this is the message, right? There's a sign at the gas pump that says, hey, please refrain from this type of activity while you're pumping gas. And all of a sudden, the whole world is certain that talking on your phone while pumping gas, you could just cause the whole place to explode right there on the scene. One more. I really like this one, too. That a penny drop. We've all heard this. A penny drop from where? The Empire State Building could kill you. Penny drop from the Empire State Building could hear you. We've all heard this from someone somewhere. In fact, we love to be, if you're being honest, right? We love to be in social circles where we can like drop this little bit of, you know, knowledge on people. Well, did you know that, you know, they say if you drop a penny from the top of the Empire State Building, right? Okay, these are just some common myths that the show at least proved were simply not to be true after all. Right, bulls, at least they discovered, bulls charge just as much, they determined, at the color blue as they did red. And in fact, on top of that, they discovered that it was more so movement that caused a bull to charge rather than any color in particular. Cell phones didn't cause gas pumps to explode. They put it in their own little gas pump chamber and discovered, no, that the cell phone activity did not make this happen. And they also determined that, no, pennies dropped from the Empire State Building with that much force. They did not generate enough force to actually kill someone. These are the things that we just grew up believing. Right? It's true. We just know it's true. For some reason, because we heard it somewhere, we heard it enough times, these are the things that we grew up believing were true, but they simply were not proved to be true. Now, here's the deal. I'm not attempting to actually argue if these things are true or not. I don't know. I don't know how scientific, I don't know how factual, I don't know how accurate this cable TV show really is. But here's what this Mythbusters idea makes me realize is very true. Here's what I do know. That the more we hear something, the more we hear people saying the same thing, the more popular some idea becomes, the more we tend to believe that it's true without a whole lot of evidence ourselves, without a whole lot of proof ourselves. The more we hear something, the more popular some idea becomes, the more we just assume, oh yeah, that must be how this deal works, right? And a little bit, it's kind of like the whole they say phenomenon, right? Well, they say this or they say that. It's like, who's they? And where do we come up with this stuff, right? But I think we hear it enough times, we hear it in enough places, and we hear it from enough people, and then we just assume it must be true. Right? And so these myths or these wives' tales or whatever, that they just start to grow and grow and grow. I think that's how it works. We hear it enough times, hear it from enough people, we hear it in enough places, and all of a sudden we just assume it must be true. That's how this deal works. I think it's actually the same way of thinking, if we shift gears here. I think it's actually the same way of thinking that has actually perpetuated one of the greatest myths, or maybe I'll just say one of the greatest misunderstandings about Christians, actually. I think it's the same way of thinking that has perpetuated one of the greatest misunderstandings about Christian. There's this growing understanding, both in the church and really outside of the church. You've probably heard it before. Maybe you've started to believe it yourself. But the understanding is this, and just hang with me here, okay? That understanding is this, that Christians shouldn't judge one another. Christians don't judge one another. Right? Really, you could take Christians out of it, right? That's just the way that we operate, right? You don't judge one another, right? When it comes to anyone, anywhere, there's just this mutual understanding. This is the way that the world works. There's this unspoken rule that we all know to abide by in social settings, right? And when it comes to the lives we're living and the choices we're making, and if the spotlights are ever turned on us, right, there's this universal phrase. There's this kind of international ace of spades. There's this international get out of jail free card. When people are looking at us, when people are looking at you, all you have to say is, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me, right? Don't judge me, or you'll be judged too." This is just the common rules of engagement today. We know it's true. Don't judge me, right? Don't judge, or you'll be judged too. Don't tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me what to do? Person A says, "Hey, this doesn't really maybe look right or feel right." And person B says, "Don't judge me." It's code for, hey, anyone can do anything, anywhere, anytime they want, and no one has the right to say anything about it. Why? Because we all live by this rule. We all have bought into this understanding that we don't judge one another. And sometimes we're person A and sometimes we're person B, but here's the thing. I think it's actually hard to know how to handle these situations. And I think it's hard for those of us especially who call ourselves Christians, those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, because we want to love people, and we do when we should. We want to love people, but we also want what we believe is best for people, right? We want to love people, but we want to do what's best for people. Then so what do we do? Because, well, hey, can't judge people. Right? We can't judge one another. And so the question that I want to ask us this morning is this, and I want you to just hang with me to the very end here, okay? Hang with me to the very end. The question I want to ask this morning is this: does Jesus teach us? If we look at what he says, if we look at his teaching, which is what we're doing in this series, his words in the New Testament that jump out at us with big, bold, red letters, right? Does Jesus teach us not to judge one another? Is it true? Or is it just some myth? Is it just some misunderstanding that we have bought into? And so I want to do my best this morning to see if I can make it all a little bit more clear for us. Unfortunately, the MythBuster crew was unavailable this weekend. I checked, right? Thanksgiving week, they were a little busy. So the MythBusters were not available for us to come here to put this under the microscope. But lucky for us, this very next portion of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we're examining right now. Lucky for us, the very next portion, the very next section of Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount is the spiritual MythBusters that we need to test out this theory that says Christians don't judge. We're not supposed to judge one another. And so I want to take a close look, because what Jesus is really teaching, I think, is something that all of us really need to get a handle on. Right, but whether we're Christians or maybe we're not quite there yet, whoever it is, wherever we are, I think what Jesus is teaching is really something that we need to get a handle on, because this idea, hey, we don't judge one another, it's everywhere, and it affects so many of our relationships. It affects so many of the important relationships in our lives, and so I really think this is something that we got to get a handle on. We all need to know what this is all about and what Jesus is really getting at. So if you would, look with me at the words that Jesus himself spoke that in our New Testament jump out at us in these red letters. Here's Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Here's what he says. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." There it is, right? Came right from Jesus' mouth himself. So it's pretty clear, right? Game, set, match, turn out the lights. We'll pack it up, load up the trailer. We'll call this thing a good party's over. This one's clear. Jesus said it. Don't judge so we can get out of here early, right? We'll get to Applebee's before all the Lutherans and the Catholics. Yes? We're done? This one's clear, right? Well, I don't want to sound judgmental here, but if that's what you're thinking, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not that clear. Okay, you might be wrong, but it's very easy to see where this confusion would come from. It's very easy to see where this don't judge phenomenon has built some momentum, because it would appear as though Jesus himself spoke the words that sent this whole thing into motion. Okay? It would appear as Jesus is the one who sent this whole deal into motion. And there's a piece of that. There's a piece of that that is true. There's a piece of that that's true. But as is the case for so much of what Jesus is teaching here in this Sermon on the Mount that we have been looking at, as it is time and time again, there's more than meets the eye here. Right? There's really something else at play here that I really want us to know about. So here's what I want to do. I want to try to look behind the scenes a little bit, because it's only when we understand what Jesus is really saying, that we get any kind of helpful or useful instructions for how we live together, for how we get along with one another. It's only when we understand what Jesus is really saying that we get any instructions for how to actually be a good neighbor or a good friend or a good coworker or a good coach or a good mentor. I mean, it's only when we really understand what Jesus is saying that we get any kind of instruction for how we actually go about bringing the best out in one another. And so I want us to be real solid on this deal here. I want us to be real solid on what's happening here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go behind the scenes a little bit, and I'm going to do my best to do my best Mythbusters work for you here today. Cool? In order for me to go Mythbusters on you here, I got to get just a little technical for just a second. I'll do it quick, and then I promise it'll be over with, okay? Occasionally, you've heard me say this. If you've been around here at Midcurrent, you've heard me say this, that our English translations of the Bible are great, obviously, right? Because that means that we can read God's word in a language that we understand, okay? But every now and again, if you've been around, every now and again, you've heard me say this, that sometimes certain things get lost in translation, okay? When we're translating, or when people for us translated from the actual language that they used, that they spoke, that they read, and that they wrote with then and there, right? When we're translating from the language that they used then and there to the language that we use here and now, sometimes some important details get lost along the way. Sometimes some important details get lost in translation, and that's kind of what happened here. That's kind of what happened here. And so we're going to look at just a few short verses today that for some of you will be very familiar, right? Verses that, like, you know, verses about talking about judging one another, some verses we're going to see here and about specks in our neighbor's eye and about logs in our own eye. And we've all heard it before. So many of us have heard this before. But right off the top in this verse, there's some important details that do get lost in translation. In fact, it's really just one word that gets a little bit lost in translation, and it kind of sends us off in the wrong direction, okay? There's one word that gets a little lost in translation, and I want us to put it under the Mythbusters microscope here today, okay? That one word that gets just a little lost in translation is the word judge, okay? This word, don't judge me or you too will be judged. We read it here in the words that Jesus spoke, and we'll actually read it a couple times. It's this word judge. Gets a little lost in translation, okay? The Greek word, here's where I'm getting a little technical, and then I promise it'll be over real quick, okay? The Greek word that's used here is the word krino, okay? That's the word that's being translated to judge, this word krino. And it's used here, as it's being used here, it's actually getting at something a little bit more serious. It's actually getting at something a little more serious and a little more technical than what our English word, you know, judging suggests to us. I mean, it's kind of the right idea, but when they translate this word krino to the word judging for us, something gets lost in translation. Something gets lost in translation when we read this word judging. That just suggests to us, don't judge others. Right? We can't say anything. We can't do anything. Right? We shouldn't say anything about what others have going on. Just kind of sit on our hands and keep our lips zipped. That's what we hear here. But there's really something more than that. Okay, this word krino, it actually is far more of a legal term. And it's actually referring to something kind of very specific. It's actually referring to something very more specific. It's referring to an ultimate and a permanent and a very authoritative penalty and punishment. Krino, it's a legal term. It's kind of a justice term. And so when you dig around with that definition a little bit, all of a sudden you discover, right, when you look around in this, you actually discover that there's a more accurate translation, right? When you dig around in this a little bit, certain descriptions, they kind of point to this one word. There's actually a more accurate translation for this word here that's used a number of times right at the top of this verse, and it's the word condemn. Don't condemn. It's referring to condemnation, and that's a pretty big difference. That's a pretty big difference. Judging, I looked it up just to be sure. I got an English definition today. Judging is forming an opinion or an estimation. It's an evaluation. Condemning is pronouncing guilt with an irreversible penalty. You know, judging is saying, hey, I noticed this, and I'm here to help. I'm here to help you get it straight. I'm here to help get this back on track. Condemning is saying, hey, I noticed this and you're done for. Right? You're on your own for this one. Judging is saying, hey, maybe not good, but I'm here for you. Condemning says, hey, not good, and you're out of luck. And there's a difference. There's a big difference between those two, and I think it's an important difference for us to understand, because then we start to see something a little bit differently. Then we start to see that Jesus, he isn't saying, don't judge others, don't pay attention to others, don't, you know, notice other people. No, he's really saying, don't condemn others. He's saying, don't go around, you know, handing out guilty verdicts and pink slips, you know, for people who are, you know, living life, or, you know, for people who have made some mistakes along the way. He's saying, don't go around pointing fingers. Don't go around hanging people out to dry. Not cool. And actually, here's the truth. Not cool, and actually not your job, not our job to do that. You and I don't have the authority to make those kind of ultimate decisions. Right? We don't have the kind of authority to make those kind of ultimate decisions. Those kind of ultimate decisions are reserved for God himself. You and I, we are not judge, jury, and executioner. Right? So we're not just supposed to go around handing out guilty verdicts and hanging out people to dry with an authority that really is not our own. So he says, don't condemn one another. He goes on in verse 2 to say this, for in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. That's where we get this, right? Don't judge me or you'll be judged too. And it is with the measure that you use that it will be measured to you. Okay? It's with the measure that you use for others that it will be measured to you. So what does this mean, right? So he's saying, if you're going to have this kind of condemning attitude with the way that you respond to others, then watch out, because it might be coming right back at you. Because he's saying that the measure you use will be measured to you, right? What goes around comes around. We've heard that saying before, okay? So he's saying, be careful then about how you go about all this. Be careful about what you do and what you say. Be careful how you go about doing this stuff. And what's interesting to me then, as we start to turn the corner here, what's interesting to me is that when he says this, it kind of starts to allude to the fact that there is actually some way to go about it. There actually is way to measure, to go about this. It's not condemning. It's not pointing the finger. It's not saying, you're done. But there does seem to be, and we'll start to see that as we go on, there does seem to be some standard of measurement at play that might be necessary for us, that there is some kind of evaluation that is to be made. And when we see this, we start to see something that I want to try to make clear for us. We start to see that Jesus isn't necessarily teaching us not to judge, but in a way, he's teaching us how to judge, how to go about doing this. And really, I mean, judging is such a tough word, and so maybe we'll start to see it getting even more clear, right? But we start to see that he's saying, you know, he's not saying, hey, don't judge others, don't not, you know, pay attention to others. He's teaching us how to do it, how to notice, how to pay attention to the lives that people are living around us. And what we see is that it's not with an authority that's not our own, but it's with something entirely different. And that's what I want us to see as we move on through the rest of what he has to say, okay? There's an appropriate way, and there's an inappropriate way to be judging, and again, that's where this word is hard, right? There's an appropriate and an inappropriate way to be evaluating or to be measuring others, and I want us to know the difference. I want all of us here today to know the difference, so let's keep reading, okay? There's an appropriate way, and there's an inappropriate way to be evaluating, to be measuring those around us. We'll find out how to do it as we keep going here. Next couple verses. Jesus says this, "So why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and you pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a huge plank in your own eye?" Okay, Jesus is actually, what he's doing here is he's kind of calling out the hyper-religious people in that day, right? This is what the hyper-religious, strict religious leaders do. Over and over again, Jesus is calling them out for making it all look good out here. We're doing the right thing out here. We're kind of calling this out because that's not good and because that's not right. He keeps calling them out for making it all look good out here, but only to cover up what's really going on in here in their heart. He's calling out these religious leaders for saying, man, you guys are just going around looking for people who are breaking the rules, you know, calling them out, sinner, rule breaker, right? You're bopping them on the head every time you see them. He's saying you're so quick to point out who got it wrong, but all along they failed to see. He's saying they fail to see themselves as falling short of what God intended, that they fail to see that there's another component to this. There's an internal component to this, a heart component to their relationship with God. And so Jesus is calling them out when he says, why do you look at the speck in their eye and you don't see the plank in your eye? In verse 5, he says, you hypocrite. Right? This whole section that we're looking at, Jesus keeps referring to these hypocrites. He calls them out. He's letting them know, hey, this is not how this works. This is not how this deal works, that there really is a better way. And what will start to become a little bit more clear here, that Jesus isn't saying, hey, he's not saying, don't pay any attention. He's not saying, you know, don't notice how, or pay attention to how other people are living their life. He's not saying, hey, just leave people alone. Just mind your own business, right? Because here's the thing, if there was something in your friend's eye, if we take this analogy, if there's something in your friend's eye, you'd want to point it out. You'd want them to know, but there's an appropriate way to do it. Here it is. He goes on. He says, you hypocrite, don't do it like that. He says, do it like this. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You catch that? First, then. First, get the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye, from your friend's eye. This is key. Jesus is saying, first deal with yourself and then deal with them. First them. It's all set another little indication here that there actually is some type of evaluation, that there is some kind of measurement at play here. There is actually some standard that we can use to hold each other accountable, that there is some kind of standard that is still appropriate. It's just a question of how and when. He's saying, there's two ways to do it. He's saying, don't do it like the hypocrites. They find fault in everybody but themselves. He's saying, so don't do it like that. Don't judge people like that. Just, you know, pointing out wrong. He's saying, don't do it like that. But he's not saying, don't do it ever. He's not saying don't judge ever. In the sense that judging, like I said, we got to get a better handle on this word. In the sense that judging is just an opinion or an evaluation or an observation, he's not saying, no, not ever, can't do it. He's not saying, you know, no, don't point out that speck in their eye. Just let them be. Just let them go blind, right? He's not saying just let that little piece of sawdust scratch away at their retina for the rest of their lives. No, he's saying point out the speck. For goodness sakes, help them, you know, get it out of their eye. Nobody wants to go around with a piece of sawdust stuck in their eye, but make sure you take care of you first. Make sure you take care of you first. He doesn't say, worry about you and you only. Mind your own business. No, he says, first you, then them. First you, then them. First your eye, then their eye. Right? First your plank, then their speck. Right? First your shortcomings, then theirs. First your mistakes, first your missteps, first your kind of mishaps, and then theirs. First, then. First, then. He's not saying not ever. He's just saying first you, then them. And here's the deal. When you deal with you first, right, if you actually take this kind of advice here, right, that you can point it out, you can help them get it out, right, but you just got to do you first and then them. Here's the deal. When you deal with you first, when you work on you first, when you look in the mirror at you first, do you know how you respond to them next? When you deal with you first, do you know how you respond to them next? With humility. And that's what I hope that we would learn from all this. Jesus isn't teaching us not to judge, not to notice, not to evaluate. He's teaching us how to do it appropriately and effectively and graciously. It's not condemning, but here's the deal. It is discerning. It is wisely discerning. It is making a judgment call in the moment. It is, you know, just taking a look at what's in front of you and you know, forming, making an evaluation. But here's the key, right? This is the X factor in the sense that judging is an evaluation. Here's the right. There's an appropriate way and there's an inappropriate way. So here's how we go about it, right? This is the X factor. It's evaluating with humility, not authority. It's evaluating others with humility, not authority. Authority, here's the difference, right? Authority says you're guilty. Humility says you're not alone. See the difference? Authority just says you're guilty. Humility says you're not alone. And this is what I would suggest. This is the only kind of judgment that I think we need today. This is the only kind of evaluation. This is the only kind of measuring or observing or whatever you want to call it, whatever word makes most sense to you. This is the kind of judgment that I do think we need today. An evaluation with humility and not authority, right? Because humility says, hey, humility says, because I've worked really hard, to get this big giant plank out of my own eye, because I've worked really hard, you know, to get myself right, because I've taken a really hard look at myself over the last couple weeks or months or years, because I've worked hard to get back on track, because I've been there. Because I've done that, because I've experienced that, because I had that same fear, because I chased after those very same things, because I hit rock bottom too, because I struggled for a long time too with the very same things, because I was addicted to that too, because I made those same choices once too, because I had to work hard, and because I'm still working hard to take care of my own stuff, I couldn't help but notice. I couldn't help but see just that little sliver in your eye that looked so darn similar to all the ones that built up in mine. And so I couldn't help but wonder, what's up with that? How are you doing with that? How's that working for you? How's that going for you so far? Couldn't help but notice, because I've been there. I've done that. Evaluating with authority, on the hand, man, that looks a whole lot different, and it feels a whole lot different. And I think it's what most people feel when they warn you, don't judge me. I think this is what people feel, authority. They feel condemnation. This is what they feel when people are warning, right, putting out the barriers. Don't judge me. Don't tell me what to do. You know, don't judge me or you'll be judged too, because authority says guilty, wrong, loser, you know, screw up, idiot, sinner. How could you? How dare you? And here's the truth. Although we deserve some of that, right? Hey, screw up, sinner. Although we deserve that, that's not how God deals with you and me. That's never how God dealt with you and me, and it's not how Jesus wants us to deal with others. But he doesn't say, hey, don't pay any attention to others. He doesn't say, hey, don't say anything. He doesn't say, hey, just sit on your hands, keep those lips zipped, mind your own business. No, he just wants us to go about it all the right way. He doesn't want us to be condemning. It's the word krino. He doesn't want us to be condemning, but I do think he wants us to be wisely discerning, to make a judgment call in the moment, to look at you first and then them, to make an evaluation of where things stand. And here's the thing. Here's what I want us to know, actually. When you're in a good place, when you've worked hard to get yourself kind of further down the line in some area of your life, then you better be reaching back down the line to help the next person along. Don't just sit on your hands and zip your lips and say, I'm not supposed to say anything, right? They'll tell me don't judge. No, when you've worked really hard to get yourself further down the line, then it's your responsibility to reach back down the line and to help the next person along. Jesus isn't just suggesting that we just let that person go blind, right? If we keep using this analogy, he's not saying, nope, just let them lose their eyesight. I don't care. No. He's saying do the hard work first, and then with humility, reach out to those somehow, in some way, reach out to those who need to hear from you. And I just wonder, this is just me, I just wonder where this type of humility could just change things in our world today. I wonder where this kind of humility could transform some of the most important relationships or some of the most important arenas of our life, of your life, of my life. Maybe this type of humility, right, that says, hey, me first and then you, right? You at some point, but only after I've done me first. I can't help but wonder if maybe this type of humility, this type of discernment could transform, you know, some of the tense relationships that you have with people in your family or with coworkers or with your in-laws or with your good friends across the street. Maybe it's this type of humility that could start to repair a broken marriage or broken relationships. Maybe this type of humility, here's what gets me really excited. Maybe this type of humility could start to repair the bridge, could start to close the gap between those who follow Jesus and those who don't. Right? If the world around us didn't always hear or think they were hearing, you're guilty. You're on your own. You blew it. But I wonder how things could be different, if the gap could be closed, if instead they heard us say, you're not alone. You're not alone because I've been there, or you're not alone because I'm ready to stand right next to you in the midst of it all. I wonder what would be different if more and more people around us heard us saying to them, hey, you're not alone. I've been there, and I'll be there with you. Whatever it is, whoever it is, wherever it is, I just can't help but wonder how this world would look maybe just a little bit differently if we got this right. How different would our relationships and our interactions be if this is the way that we responded to one another, especially those of us that call ourselves, you know, Christians, those that call ourselves followers of Jesus. I cannot help but wonder how different our relationships and our interactions would be if we got this right. I think that it would be a whole lot easier to give and to receive feedback. if we knew this is how it was happening, if we knew that it was always wrapped in humility, not with authority, I think it would be a whole lot easier to give it when necessary and to receive it when necessary, if we understood that it was wrapped in humility. So let me just wrap this all up then and close with this. Is Jesus really teaching us, don't judge? Christians, don't judge one another. You shouldn't judge people. Is that what he's really saying? He's saying don't notice, don't pay any attention to maybe things that have gotten off track. Sort of. Not totally, though. He's saying don't be condemning, but instead be wisely discerning to evaluate the world around you with a whole lot of humility and a whole lot less authority. And I would love for you and me, I would love for those of us at Midcurrent Church to lead the way. A whole lot of humility and a whole lot less authority. Let me pray. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks yet again for a chance to call a time out, to carve out time once again, God, to be here, to set our eyes, to set our hearts on you. As we sing, as we pray, as we read, as we listen, as we learn. God, we're grateful for what you can do in our hearts and in our lives when we take the time to do this. When we take the time to put ourselves in a posture to hear from you, God. And so we pray this morning that you might be doing great things in our hearts and in our lives, God. And I just pray that God, you would help us to know where and when and how to put this kind of teaching into play, God. This is not the license for any of us to go out and be the religious police, right? The spiritual cops to just be busting people left and right. No, God. But I do pray that you would help each of us to know when and where, to be wisely discerning, to know when it's time to reach back down the line, to know when it's time to kind of speak up or to speak out, to know when it's time to extend a hand, to step into the gap with someone. God, that you would help us to know when it is that we do make a judgment call to step into the lives of the other people and friends and family and neighbors around us, God. This is tough work, God, and we can only do it best when you're the one leading the way, God, when you're our guide, when you're our wisdom. So we pray that you would do that for each of us here this morning, that you would help us to know when and where and how this makes the most sense in our lives as we move forward. We give you thanks for this morning, God. Most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, and it is in his very powerful name that we pray here this morning. Amen.